Greetings from Bend, Oregon. It is great to be here with you on behalf of Eastmont Church, our elders, our pastors, our congregation. You got a good one. So we are really happy to say that Pastor Chris is going to be here and he's going to be your lead pastor. We are very sad to see him go. It is a big hole to our church, to me. I'm losing a friend in a sense. But we are very excited. We have seen the Lord's hand in this. We've seen the Lord's hand on Chris and how he's used him at our church for the years that he's been there and the years I have served with him. We have seen him grow in the Lord. We have seen the Lord moving him towards this direction, and we have heard how God has united you guys together. And so I guess I'm here this morning to sign off on this, unfortunately. But we do have one request on behalf of our team, is that every year, every summer, we do a staff camping trip, and Chris has always organized that. And if you don't know yet, Chris is quite the cook. And so, in August, every year, we do have a formal request that you allow him to return to be a part of our staff camping trip to cook for us, all right? And if you, once you get to know him, you'll understand why I have that request. But we are excited, and congratulations, and like I said, you have a great man of God. And so this morning, I guess I get to cap all of this off, and it's an honor to do that. And if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to be. I know from what you have told me and what Chris has told me that this day has been a long time coming. Your church has been praying for, looking to revitalize, looking to for new leadership, looking for fresh perspective and fresh direction and fresh wind from God's Spirit and God's Word. And so this is an exciting day. And there's a lot of expectations that possibly come with Chris stepping in to be your lead pastor and to hopefully take this church to where God calls it to be and be what God has called it to be for you and for this city. However, because we have these expectations, they need to be tempered a little bit, right? We're all excited. We're all ready to go. We're all expecting God to do big things, but we need to ground ourselves in what God's word says our expectation should be of our lead pastor, of the one who would lead us, and especially of ourselves in this new season that he finds your church. And so this morning, I want to make sure we ground all of our expectations and all of our hopes for Chris and especially for this church and what God says must be present in a church that is effective and that God uses no matter what season it finds itself in. And so this morning, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I might be preaching to Chris primarily because these words of Paul are penned to the lead pastor of the church in Ephesus, and they are meant for the pastor's ears. But hear me this morning, church, they are for your ears as well. Because everything that Paul lays out here and places upon the lead pastor of a church is very much to be reciprocated and followed and be a reality in the people that sit in the pews and are part of the congregation as well. So as much planning and as much prayer and as much seeking as you have done to bring you to this day and for God to bring Chris here, it is absolutely vitally important that you ground all of your expectations and all of the standards for which you have for Chris and for God to do this church in his word. And so this morning, we look at what Paul says to Timothy. And this passage is loaded. In fact, this is sacred territory. These are some of the last words that Paul would ever write to Scripture to his young protege, Timothy, whom he had sent to the church at Ephesus to be a lead pastor to deal with a difficult situation. He had to confront error. He had to get rid of false teachers. He had to disciple people. He had a tough task that he was laboring through and struggling through. And Paul writes two letters to him to help him understand everything that was required of him so that that church could be all that God had intended it to be for his people and for that city. And these last few verses sum up everything that Paul needed to say and was required for the man of God to be for the people of God so that it could be the church of God that was mightily used and highly effective towards the ends that God created it. And so this is what Chris needs to be, and this is what you need to be in this short, powerful text in the words of Paul this morning. And so what is required of a lead pastor and his church to be an effective church of Jesus Christ? Here's what Paul says first. First of all, that there must be a passion to please the Son of God. Notice what he says to begin with. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is judge to living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Now that's a way to start a sentence or to start some requirements. I charge you, I commend you, I demand you, if you will, pay attention to what I am saying. In fact, the word charge is a legal term. It's the term testimony, to testify. It's as though Paul is calling Timothy and calling Chris and calling you into the courtroom, into the presence of God, and saying, this, what I'm about to tell you, is very, very serious. I charge you in the presence of God, literally, who is Christ Jesus. He's calling Timothy, he's calling you, he's calling us this morning as a witness before Jesus Christ, saying, this is what is required of you. This is serious business. But he doesn't just call Timothy and call Chris and call you into the presence of God as a witness in the courtroom of God. Notice that he adds this to what he says, who is to judge the living and the dead, even by his appearing and his kingdom. It's not just a charge that he adds to it, the fact that in this courtroom that Jesus Christ is the one who bears witness and who we are responsible to, but Jesus Christ is the judge of all people, the living and the dead, the believing and the non-believing. That there is an account that Jesus Christ, the Savior, will bring to everyone, especially his minister, one day. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 3. The foundation is Christ. And if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If any work has been built on the foundation, there will be a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though himself will be saved only as through fire. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 right there that one day that the minister of God will stand before the Son of God, and he will assess the work done on his behalf and the task given to him. And if he built on the foundation with those things that are of God and are pure, he will receive a reward. But if he built it on anything else, that will be taken away and it will be burned away, and there will be no reward. This is what Paul is reminding us of and calling us to and calling a lead pastor to have a passion to please Jesus Christ, because he is the Lord of the church and he is also the judge who will assess the work done for a local church and will reward based on that. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive what is due for what is done in the body, whether good or evil. Listen, every lead pastor, every minister will stand before Jesus Christ one day and give an account and receive an assessment of the work done for his glory and for his church. And Paul says, I testify and I bring you into the presence of that Lord this morning through this text to remind you that there must be a driving, motivating passion to please Jesus Christ, not only from your lead pastor, but every single person who calls themselves a follower of him, that has confessed him and belongs to this local church. There must be an overarching, mega passion to please Jesus Christ, especially in light of the fact that Chris and every single one of us will stand before him to be assessed and rewarded based upon what we do with the foundation of our salvation. If you want to be a church that God massively uses, that is effective towards the ends of which he has planted and sustained this church for as long as he has, there must be an overwhelming passion to please the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead and will assess you for work done on his behalf and reward you in that. You should expect that from your senior pastor. You should expect that from your own body, and you should expect that and be motivated by that in and of yourselves. There should be a passion to please the Son of God. Secondly, Paul reveals to us that there should be a prioritization of the Word of God. Notice what he says in verse 2. He tells Timothy, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. The dominating command is preach the word. Preacher's going to preach, folks, and this guy's ready to preach. I can tell you that. He is rearing to go, so don't quench that fire. Let him go in accordance to what Paul says the main priority of a lead pastor is, which was the main priority that Timothy was to have in this ministry given to him. Preach the word. Now, it's interesting here that Paul uses this word preach. That's not the normal word he uses. It's the word keruso. It means to herald. And it was an official position in the Roman society of someone who would go to a city or come into the city on behalf of the emperor or on behalf of Caesar, and he would declare openly, publicly, to whomever who could hear, the message that Caesar or the emperor had for those people. And that's exactly what Paul wants you to sense and understand about the priority of the Word of God and the priority of the man of God in preaching. That he, in service to the head of the church, who will assess him as the king, sends him on his behalf to deliver his message to his people as much as he possibly can. As one preacher says it, that he takes the word of God so that the Spirit of God can take the church of God and make it look like the Son of God. That is his job. That is his primary job, is to preach the word. It's not his words, it's not his opinion, it's not cultural norms, it's not cultural narratives, it is the word. It is the same word that he just talked about in chapter 3, verse 16. It is the scripture that is breathed out by God. Do you hear that? This book contains the very words of God from the lips of God for the people of God. His task primarily is to herald this book for your lives, for your family, for your city, and for your culture until the day he dies or he's taken away. This is his primary task. Preach the word. And notice it's not just sometimes. Notice it's not when he feels like it. It says, he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. There is no time where his priority and his passion is not on preaching and bringing the word of God to bear on the lives of those in this congregation. In season and out of season. Whether it's wanted or not wanted, whether how he feels or he's tired or he's not tired, whether it's acceptable or not acceptable. At all times, ready to bring God's word to God's people. We find ourselves in a season where the word of God in the church at large and in the culture is not very popular. Preaching the word of God is not in season, if you haven't noticed. But that doesn't matter. All that matters is that Chris has been tasked primarily with the priority of preaching the word of God to you and to this city. Our church has experienced in Oregon what it's like to go through the times when it's not in season to preach the word. Our state's a little different from yours, a little bit crazier, a little bit more antagonistic to the truth of God's word. And we had to navigate a long season where we were told that not only could we not preach the word, we couldn't even get together to do it. And our church decided, based on the authority and the principles of the Word of God, that we were not going to do that. And we gathered our church together, and we decided that we were going to not only preach the Word of God despite what our culture says or whatever government demands of us, we also decided that we were going to preach the Word of God against what the enemy and what our culture is saying and doing. And we did that unashamedly and with a lot of fear and trembling over the last 2 years, and we have confronted culture, and we have confronted the COVID crisis, and we have preached God's word, and Eastmont Church has exploded with people, even in Central Oregon, who are flocking to hear the word of God. Because my sheep hear my voice, and my servant is to preach my word, and I will draw people to that, folks. Though this might not be a season out there and maybe even in the church at large, Chris's task and your priority should be allowing him to preach the word and you to hear it, whether you like it or not. And hopefully you like it more than not. But he is not only to preach the word as a herald of the King Jesus, he is to minister the word. Notice what Paul says. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and in teaching or instruction. It's one thing to stand in the pulpit and bring the word of God to the people. Paul now turns it and he says that it's also a pastor to people ministry as well, that he must minister the word of God personally to people. Sometimes that's a negative thing. Sometimes, because of sin and error, the pastor has to get a little heavy. And Paul uses two words to remind him of this reality. He says you have to reprove people sometimes, and you have to rebuke them. It's kind of two words to say to the same thing. One is more about correcting. The other is about confronting. And that's the reality. And that's the reality of what Timothy had to do on a regular basis in his ministry, which is why he was so beat up. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 of this letter, hey, you got to stir up the gift, man. I know you're getting beat up by everything you're having to do, but stir it up and get after the reality of what God has called you to do. And sometimes you got to have hard conversations over hard things. Unfortunately, the church has sin. And unfortunately, the church carries with it sometimes doctrinal error. And Chris's responsibility as the shepherd is to confront and to make sure that that is not a reality in the lives or in any ministry or in any place in this church. No sin, no error, as God has revealed it in his word. That's a people-to-people thing. That's the hard work of the ministry. Instead of just standing up here and proclaiming, which is a vital piece, getting involved in the lives and doing and bringing the word of God in that negative aspect. But there's another thing. He's to exhort. The word is paraclete. It's the same word that Jesus used for the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside. Chris is to labor among you, and when there are those who are weak, when there are those who are ignorant of God's ways and in God's word, he is to come alongside with patience and instruction, just as the Spirit of God does to us when we are weak and we are not strong. And when we need his guidance and his illumination of God's word, that is the role of a pastor, to preach the word and to minister the word of God patiently, like a father with his children. That is the role of the pastor, preaching and ministering the word. And notice that this is an urgent, necessary ministry of the pastor. Verse 4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths. This is a prophecy of Paul specific to this church in Ephesus. He's saying, Timothy, I'm telling you, based on revelation from God, that there will be a season in this church where they will no longer want to listen or endure or tolerate your sound teaching and preaching, but in order to suit their passions, they will replace you with teachers that tickle their ears, that tell them what they want to say so that they can do the sinful things that they want to do. Does that sound familiar, folks? Is that not our culture? Is that not the temptation in our hearts? Is that not the desire of the what we see today, even in the Church of Jesus Christ? Because I want to do what I want to do, I will find someone that tells me it's okay. I do a lot of the pastoral counseling in our church, and I see this over and over and over again. Yeah, I know he's not a Christian, but this pastor said it's okay. Yeah, I know this is wrong, but I found this guy on YouTube who said, based upon this scripture, that what I'm doing or what I want to do is okay. It is so easy to accumulate for ourselves anyone who will take God's word, manipulate it, and say, that's okay what you want to do. It is rampant in our culture. It is rampant in our churches, but it cannot be a reality in this church if you want to be effective. And what that necessitates is a man of God who will stand and preach the word of God and minister in the lives of people the truth of God, so that that temptation and that pull to find someone and to live according to any sinful desire or error will not be a reality whatsoever in this place. This is an urgent priority for this church and for all churches. For the word of God to be the priority and for the people of God to make it such a priority that they come and they hear it and they allow the man of God and the men of God to speak into their lives what is true and to confront if needed and to come alongside and to guide with the truth of the word of God, so that this temptation and this culture to find people to tickle our ears will not be a reality here as much as it is out there. So a passion to please the Son of God, a prioritization on the Word of God. And for Chris and for you, there needs to be a deep commitment to the people of God. Listen, it's so funny to me that people still think that a preacher's job and all he does all week is sit in his office, do sermons, and then stand up on Sunday and then go back into the Holy of Holies where he, you know, was studying. Well, you only work like 15 hours a week, right? I mean, all you do is do sermons. People still think that. It just blows my mind. Listen, a faithful pastor that is doing the work works hard. Preaching is hard, folks. This ain't easy. You don't believe me? Come up here and try it. Preaching is hard work, especially when you take it seriously to please the Lord in everything you do, which should be the driving force of everything. Ministry is hard. There are pressures and there are problems constantly from people, from programs, from finances. And your senior pastor, Chris, will deal with all of them. He will oversee all of them. He will labor in all of them. And Paul says, based on those pressures and problems, that there needs to be a deep commitment to the church, expressed itself in two things. Verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering. Paul understanding the pressures and the problems and everything that Timothy was dealing with says that his commitment to his ministry and to that local church, which is the same commitment that must be brought to this local church by Chris, he must be sober-minded. The idea that he's steady. No matter what is thrown at him, which will be a lot, there must be a steadiness there based upon the fact that he knows that God has brought him here and he's committed here to this church to do what God has called him to do. A steadiness, a soberness. It's a metaphorical word that he's not distracted like alcohol drives you and you don't have any control and you're distracted by things here because of where God has placed you and what you're tasked to do, that you are resolute and you are steady no matter what is raging around you. And second, endure suffering. Folks, you sheep bite, and you bite hard sometimes. Sometimes you're stubborn, sometimes you're sweet, and sometimes you stink. And sheep are sheep, man. That's why you're called sheep. As the shepherd, there is suffering that can come with shepherding a church. And Paul says, endure it. Endure it. Bear up under it. Why? Because you have been called here and you are committed here. That goes for Chris and that goes for you. Sometimes you bite each other and you buck each other and you hurt each other. And here's the reality, that the church of Jesus Christ is the church of Jesus Christ. And you are sinners. And you are still a sinner, and you will always be a sinner until you are redeemed. And because Jesus Christ has decided that this church is here, and you are filling these pews, and you have this leadership, and you have Chris here to lead you as a shepherd, you must commit. You must be steady and resolute no matter what problems arise. You must endure whatever suffering from people might come so that the work that God wants to do here is effective. Your pastor, you must be committed to the church of God, this local church, being steady, enduring, suffering, because this is his body. And he died for it. And he asks you to labor for it until he returns or until he calls you somewhere else. So, pleasing the Son of God, prioritizing the Word of God, commitment to the people of God. And notice this, proclamation of the gospel of God. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded and endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, this is one of those often forgotten, often neglected responsibilities of a minister and a lead pastor of a local church. To put an emphasis and a priority and a reality on the fact that this church and this man exists to proclaim the gospel of God so that these waters of baptism can be stirred by people that are coming to faith, not just coming to church. This is a reality. You know, I was in church planning, and there was one of my pastor friends that was one of my coaches, and he was a pastor of a larger church, and he decided, based upon what Paul says here, that he would become an Uber driver part-time during the week. It was the wildest thing I've ever heard of, that a lead pastor of a pretty substantial church in Orange County would say, I'm going to be an Uber driver. And his reason was, is because what Paul says here, and he wanted to show his people how to do it, and he wanted to make sure that his people felt the fact that you could not get in his office and he was not available because he was out there proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to souls who were perishing. This is a responsibility of a lead pastor, of a minister, to preach the gospel. This is how a church should grow, folks, is that the gospel goes forward. This is a requirement of God's man in any local church to do the work of an evangelist. Not that he is an evangelist, but he does the work of an evangelist, whatever that may look like. And so that's an accountability point, and that's a responsibility point that Chris has to figure out as he labors among you and he takes on the responsibility of preaching and laboring and leading still responsible, just as you are, with those that he's placed in your life around you to proclaim the gospel of God. If you want to be a church that is effective towards the ends of which God has created you to be here, and if he's going to be a pastor that leads you and is effective in what he does here, there must be an absolute overriding passion to please the Son of God. There must be a prioritization on the Word of God. There must be a commitment to the people of God. There must be continual proclamation of the gospel of God to the city. And then finally, there must be a completion of the assignment from God. Notice how Paul ends this, verse 5. Fulfill your ministry. The idea is complete every task that is given to you. The main part of Chris's task is to preach the word and to labor with the word and to lead this church. And he is to do that until Jesus calls him home or calls him somewhere else. It is clear, based upon our eyes at Eastmont Church and what God has done here, that Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, has brought him here for such a time as this. And that is awesome. But there's a lot more to do. He's got to complete his ministry for however long that is and whatever that means. Today we are installing him and responding to Jesus' call. He will begin shepherding you with the word of God. But he also will begin leading you according to what God places on his heart in concert with the elders of this church. And sometimes that means there are changes that need to be made. Sometimes that means there are sacred cows that go away. Sometimes that means that your preferences will not hold the priority. God's calling and leading will. And so if you want to be an effective church, and if he's going to be an effective leader for this church, you need to hear that he's got to complete whatever God has placed on his heart, checked by your elders here, so that the work of God can continue in a mighty new and fresh way. Listen, I have been in a lot of churches all over this country. I've planted churches. I've been in large churches. And I know what it's like when your little world gets rocked by a decision. I can tell you, I know Chris, and nothing will be done in haste. Nothing will be done in preference. Nothing will be done based on personality, that he will go before the word of God and he will go before the throne of God and he will ask God's direction. And when God gives him fresh understanding and leading in decisions, he will lead you according to what God is calling, and he will always defer and check that through your elders as he should. He is to complete his ministry here for however long, and whatever it means, based upon the leading of God's word and his spirit. And one day he might leave and Jesus assign him somewhere else, or Jesus might assign him home, but as long as he's here, he must fulfill his ministry. And you, as his sheep, must aid him and allow him and follow him as he follows Christ to be able to complete whatever God calls him to as long as he is here. And you know what the awesome thing about that is? Is that if you will allow him to, and if he will fulfill his ministry as long as he is here, he will be, and you will be, like Paul in what he says, verse 6. Paul says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also those who loved his appearing. If you will allow him to complete his ministry, and if you will be an instrument of his completing ministry. Guess what, folks? We're back where we started. One day when the Lord Jesus Christ appears and he assesses Chris and he assesses you, there will be a crown of righteousness for you, for not only him, but for you. For all who on that day are looking for and longing for to be with Christ will be rewarded by him for what is done in this season, in completing the ministry that he has entrusted to Chris and to you as a church. What a day that will be, amen? That is what should drive us. That is what should humble us. That is what should motivate us. And that reality of pleasing our Lord Jesus and getting this crown of righteousness, this accolade from Jesus on the day that he is revealed, based upon what he allows Chris to lead and allows us to do as the sheep to do, and calling us to these things. So this morning, it is sad to say, he's yours. And these are the realistic, godly expectations you should have of him and of yourselves as a church. Please the Son of God. Prioritize the Word of God. Be committed to this church, local church of God. Proclaim the gospel of God and complete the assignment of God that he has for him and as for you as a church. And we close this morning by praying to those ends. King Jesus, we're honored and we are humbled that we get to see your sovereign hand move one of your men, one of your vessels, to this local congregation here in Boise. We're so honored of a church that has longed for and prayed for and been passionate about this day. So I pray, God, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit and by your grace, Lord, that you would continually remind them and humble them and motivate them with the fact that you are head of the church and that you, for everyone here, especially Chris, will assess and reward and say, good, well done, good and faithful servant, if there is a passion to please you. I pray that your word would be powerful here, that every heart would be ready and would be passionate and prioritize the Word of God and the ministry of the Word in the preaching in this pulpit, as well as the laboring of Chris and the other shepherds in this church to receive whatever needs to be received of truth. That this would not be a church that replaces truth with myths. It won't be driven away with the temptation to have their ears tickled, but confronted with whatever your Word says. Lord, that this body would be committed to Chris, that they would be committed to one another, no matter what pressures or problems come, knowing that they and Chris is called here to labor in this church. Lord, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forward to this area of Meridian and to this city like never before in a new and fresh way. Lord, beginning with Chris and moving into every single person sitting in these pews, God, that you would allow all of them to complete the ministry, to fill it up, to see every calling and every task that you require for this church to be all that it could be and should be in you, to be a reality. Whatever that means, Lord, in the hearts and the lives and the decisions of this church, would you make it true? And Lord, all of us look forward to the day when we see you and we rule and reign with you, and we get to hear from you based on our work and labor and calling here. Well done, good and faithful servant. And to that day and that end, we pray. Amen.